Hello, welcome to Release Your Wings. This topic today is parenting your mind. I'm Dan Bagley, and I'm interviewing Shireen Shatta.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Shireen. Parenting your mind. Now, that's an interesting topic that can go a lot of different directions. Now, we've planned this a little bit. Tell me what parenting your mind actually means.
When I'm talking about the mind, I'm really talking about the faculty of the soul, as we have the mind, the intellect, and the impression. So I'm talking about that mind, where the mind is where you get messages, where you thoughts arise, where like the visual part of the soul, where desires happen. All of that is the mind. And so when I'm talking about parenting the mind, is I'm talking about using treating the mind as you would treat a really tiny baby.
A really tiny baby that you have a loving relationship
exactly.
with.
Exactly.
Not that you're
exasperated. Yes. A baby that you have a totally loving relationship with it. And that's how. Because the mind really, it's called the monkey mind for a reason, because it tends to...
Because it's an ugly baby.
No, it keeps tending to wander around.
Sure.
But if I want to really be able to have complete sovereignty, I don't want to call it control, but sovereignty over the mind, then I have to start with a loving relationship and treat it as a baby.
I think this is really important, and though we can joke about such things, I think the really thing is to have compassion for the mind and a gentleness of spirit.
Yes.
That allows, I hate to say it this way, a healthier mind to function.
Exactly. Because it's good to be gentle. It's good to be, you know, as loving as possible. But also it's very important to be firm with it.
So that firmness with loving intention is one of the keys.
Yes. And you ask any parent, what they'll tell you about taking care of a baby is there needs to be a schedule. So for your mind, you need a timetable. You need a schedule.
Like every 2 hours I have to change my mind. I understand.
Every 2 hours you need to change your thoughts. Or just like you have a schedule, just like a baby has a schedule of waking up and eating the right foods and going to sleep and all of that, the mind also needs to have a timetable, a schedule, where you having elevated thoughts, where you're having pure thoughts, where you're giving it enough rest, where you're making sure that you're giving love to it, making sure that you are cleaning out anything negative that is coming up from the impressions, everything. So you need to have that schedule throughout the day, and you need to follow that schedule.
Wow. Do you have time to go to work and doing that?
No. But remember that you can be doing this while driving.
Okay, good.
That's why we meditate with our eyes open. Because we have to learn to do this while we're doing other tasks.
Yeah. Shireen says this knowing that I meditate with my eyes closed. which has raised my insurance. No, I'm teasing about that. I don't do it while driving. But that is an important thing. Now, I know that many people scold themselves a lot, fuss at themselves. And that's
it's really the antithesis
of this.
Right.
I often wonder, and I'm not speaking like I don't ever do this, I often wonder if a stranger came up and said some of the things, oh, that was stupid, Dan, how could you make that mistake? I mean, I would go, who are you?
Exactly.
Why are you trying to ruin my day? Yet, how do we get past this knee-jerk impatience with our minds?
It's funny you should say that, because to really, the mind experiences peace. Right? And the soul experiences peace, and that's where it comes up on the mind. But to be able to really experience it, we need patience. So when you're talking about being impatient, so we have to remember this. If I want to experience anything worthwhile, then I have to be patient. I have to treat it right. I have to bring it up right. I have to use every loving but firm thing in my arsenal to be able to have mastery over it.
So the role of judgment then, as opposed to discernment, of that was a bad move, is probably not as functional as just patient, now do it better this time.
Yes,
is that correct?
Right. And patience, and also what I've noticed is cleanliness. Mm-hmm. Honesty. Honesty is not like, this is on my mind, so I'm talking about it. I feel the word, both cleanliness and honesty go together. That only honesty works if it's only a clean thought. Mm-hmm. If I'm having a negative thought about someone, it's not cleanliness. So I can't be honest. But in the same way that if I want to experience happiness, I need to be totally honest with the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Totally honest with myself. But honesty in like an honest day's work, you know, doing mm-hmm. the right things by it, making sure I, you know, work it enough, making sure I'm not too lazy.
I'm putting integrity in all of this,
yeah,
too.
I'm not being lazy and letting all my negative impressions come up and just letting it go. But I'm really, you know, having a timetable where elevated thoughts are playing in my mind. Because what happens is the mind and the subconscious mind are totally connected. So there shouldn't be any issues going on even with my subconscious mind. But there are. We all have so many issues going on with each of them. And so with each of the subconscious mind and the conscious mind, we need to make sure that they have a diet. A good diet of elevated thoughts.
A mental diet.
Yes.
Now I'm going to open up a can of worms here. What about, what is the role of the BKs have an eating diet that is rather, well, distinctive?
Yes, plant-based. so it's funny because in Hindi there is a saying, as is the food, so is the mind.
Aha, now that's where we're going with this thing. So part of the overall thing with cleanliness, metaphorically, would be to put the right things into your body.
Yeah, because really, as is the food, so is the mind. And the reason why we recommend a plant-based diet is not because it's good for the environment, it's not because it's good for the animals.
But it is.
it is. Those are byproducts. They are incidentals.
Yeah.
But the main reason is the way it affects the mind.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm eating something that had violence associated with it, then my mind, for it to be peaceful, is much harder.
Uh-huh.
And so that's why we recommend that. But to really remember, as is the food, so is the mind.
So food for thought and food for food.
Food
for
your body, yes.
And food for thought.
Exactly.
Truly intertwined. Wow. So apply this then to parenting on a daily basis. If we find a small amount of turbulence in our thinking,
be patient.
Be patient.
Be firm. Mm-hmm. But also gentle. But before we start, right, we need to have a few thoughts lined up. This is what I'm going to think. And that is what we call the drill, or we exercise the mind. For example, one of the exercises that I've been doing the last couple of days is that I, the soul, am detached from these sense organs.
Mm-hmm.
So I see through these eyes, and then I become the soul, separate from the eyes. I hear through these ears, which are actually our main sense organs, seeing mm-hmm. and hearing. I hear through these ears, and then I become a soul. The reason I'm talking about them as main is they affect the mind.
Sure.
Because our sense organs actually decide what we are thinking most of the time. I see something, I start thinking about it. I hear something, I start thinking about it. And so it's very important to be mindful of which sense organ is affecting your mind. And so if you want to go beyond the mm-hmm. sense organs affecting you, then that detachment should happen. And so when I do that exercise, the soul separate from the eyes, the soul separate from the ears. So that is kind of like an exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need to have a list of exercises I'm going to do throughout the day, so that not when I'm, that's when I can really be gentle.
So it's almost like if you're going on away from home, you might take some of the foods that you know you may not be able to find otherwise. As you drift from the mental home where you are, you want to have ready thoughts that you can give you sustenance.
Yes, sustenance, the right nourishment.
Right.
Right.
So I was just thinking in the sensory thing, as we're sitting here, we have, you can't see on the camera, but Helen has lit, not incense, but an oil thing, and so there's a very gentle fragrance. The room and the whole environment is typically quite nice. This has green screens, so, but that's functional. But I'm wondering, creating an environment around us, what is, does this have any influence on parenting the mind?
Yes, initially. Uh-huh. You know, I always say that consciousness really is dependent on your thoughts. It's not dependent on time. But you do need to give time.
Mm-hmm.
What you do as soon as you wake up is very important. And how you do it also is very important. If you want music playing, if you want all that, you know, quiet room. We have a dedicated room where we meditate. We have all of those dedicated spaces because then you create a vibration in that
right.
space. And when you go into that space, then
Absolutely.
Meditation becomes a lot easier because you are accumulating those vibrations there.
Yeah, I'm always amazed because I've been to several Brahma Kumari centers. And it's palpable. You can walk into a room and find how much easier it is to get into meditation in certain areas. Actually, the whole Brahma Kumari Center is that way, whether or not you're in the meditation, at least for me it is, meditation room or not. So that vibrational thing is a way of parenting the mind.
Yes.
Do any colors have resonance?
It depends on the colors you like.
Yeah.
I mean, we prefer lighter colors because it soothes the soul. It suits the eyes a little. We prefer lighter colors. But it really depends on you. But not to have psychedelic colors or a strobe light going. That's hard.
Within the last couple of weeks, I've seen a television program where they used a color of pink in prisons and dropped the violence and resistance down. They were showing a men's prison. In that, and it was, does color affect how we think? And the thesis of this was, yes, it does. And I was thinking, wow, yeah, we do this. I'm sure merchandising in stores has this, you know, does it get us more tranquil or does it get us more ready to buy something? I'm sure there are ways that...
They are. In our... headquarters in India.
Yes.
It's our spiritual headquarters in India. Our meditation rooms, we have white curtains.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, because there are millions of people meditating all the time there, you can easily go into a state of meditation as soon as you walk into the room, but also the white helps.
Yeah, yeah. Which, of course, has symbolism of purity and,
yes.
and cleanliness. And all. So once again, in parenting the mind, are there any other tricks other than setting aside time, having ready-made high thoughts
exactly.
to come to? Is there any other way to keep a good parent?
The food we talked about.
And food, I'm sorry.
Food, as is your food, so is your mind.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing I feel is very important is that I have an aim.
Uh-huh.
An aim for what I'm going to do in the future, what I'm going to be in the future, a
mm-hmm.
visual aim. An example, if I want to be a pure, peaceful, loving soul, then I have an image of
mm-hmm.
how pure, peaceful, loving looks like, and I use that a lot. So to really remember that aim and to remember that visual image.
So you see it in your mind's eye.
And you see it in your mind's eye and you keep reflecting on it. You keep thinking about it. You keep going back to it.
So in that way, you typically have a better chance of hitting what you aim for rather than
right.
leave the randomness of...
Right. But also remember the mind is a visual part of the soul.
Uh-huh.
And so it's good to have a good visual image going on there than a negative visual going on there. And also what I've noticed with an aim is
mm-hmm.
whatever is your aim, that's what you'll do.
Uh-huh.
You automatically tend to go there. You know, recently, we don't have time for this, but I started using a pedometer to see how much I'm walking.
Yes.
And I have the aim of walking 10,000 steps. And I make sure I walk 10,000 steps before I go to bed because that's the aim I have.
Exactly. Which is a very good thing in all of our lives to have goals, intentions that benefit us.
Yes.
Very nice. Thanks, Shereen.
Thank you, Dan.
And thank you for joining us. Goodbye.